It's Thursday, August 31st, and the Packers have their final preseason game tonight. Ahmad Brooks just got signed as a free agent. Will there be any other surprise cuts to baseball? Dayton Moore, the Royals GM, has discussions with his team about pornography, apparently. The Brewers had a nice West Coast trip, and this Kyrie Irving trade just won't go away. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, at Mitch Ross MKE, and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome in to another edition of Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 251. Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie with you. Mitchie, how we doing?
Good.
I'm doing well as myself. It is a Thursday, last day of August, right before the Labor Day weekend. So we're going to get you guys going. Loaded show. A lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Really excited. I was kind of thinking about it as I was on the treadmill, and I was getting fired up. I was getting fired up for this one. I think there's a lot here. SnowTap WI.
You didn't do any Snapchat motivational?
No. If you do follow me on Snapchat, just I think it's CTrichler15. I don't know. I don't make my Snapchat public very often. I just it's not even motivational. I know people say, oh, it's a motivational thing. It's not really motivation. It's just kind of firing me up and just kind of talking when there's like nobody out. It's just I'm in the morning by myself. And just letting her rip.
Letting her snap.
I've heard some people like it, some people hate it. So, you know, if at least one person likes it, then I can just keep doing it.
If you're making one person happy, you're doing your job.
Exactly. So, you know, and everything like that. So, yeah, gearing up for the big Labor Day weekend. A friend of the program, Pat's in town. Should be a wild one. I don't know if I'm going to make
it live.
Don't know if I'm going to make my way to Joe Cats. I was telling Mitch last weekend. I was like, I think I'm kind of sick of Joe Cats.
That was like relatively shocking.
I know.
To get that text.
Hey, man, sometimes it just happens. I don't know. All of a sudden, I was just kind of burned out.
But then I think you also followed up with the real reason.
What?
You're tired of being hungover every Sunday.
Well, okay. So here's the thing.
Which is the first step.
All right. There's a couple things here. There's a couple of revelations here. I'm glad you brought that up. So I've lost a little weight, whatever. And I don't think my tolerance is as it was when I was holding 40 more pounds, you know, 35 more pounds that I have. So I feel like that's number one. Number two, a couple of these times, like I didn't really eat like a very like solid dinner. Like I did not eat a dinner on Saturday night.
No,
it was just like, hey, we're going to go over the, like, and I lived 5 minutes away where I could have grabbed like two Palermo's pizzas and brought them back and had those. And I didn't. And that was a Jimbo on me.
Yeah.
Cause then we went to go watch a fight and then just, you know, so it went. And then like you said, oh yeah, I went to Wolski's. I'm like, you went to Wolski's? I didn't say that to you, but I didn't remember that.
I did. So. Just to meet up back up with some of the squad and
right, but that's the thing. That's the thing, man. I just gotta either rein it in or figure out different eating habits. So we'll see. But enough about me. More about other things going on. I wanted to shout out JJ Watt for raising all the money he has so far for the victims of Hurricane Harvey.
A fellow Woodland Conference alum.
You bet. He got to $6 million. As we're taping, he's going for $10 million now. It's kind of an amazing thing to watch through the last 72 hours.
Yeah, I see it pop up every now and then. First, it was like 1 million.
Yeah.
And they had exceeded that.
Yeah.
So then he went up to like 3.
Yep.
Then I saw it again. And it was like 6 today, I think.
Right. They keep climbing with it. And what's been
the next goal is 10 million, right?
Yep. What's been incredible to watch is just sort of the social advocacy of what JJ Watt is doing. And it's very inspiring. And I hope a lot of athletes take note about the power of social media and that power that these guys carry, you know, with
sure.
stuff like this, because he's going to be able to put hopefully $10 million, maybe even more, into people's pockets who need it the most. As you know, I think we all saw scenes from Houston. It's absolutely terrible at what's going on. And thankfully they didn't really get hit with that second one again, but it was, I mean, some really scary shit. I mean, you know, and so hopefully everybody's doing all right. I don't know if we have any listeners down there. We definitely don't have any friends in that area. But, you know, stay safe, keep your head up, and just sort of go forward. So hopefully they're able to do that. And, you know, it's nice that the Astros will be playing there on Saturday as a doubleheader. And then the Texans still think.
Yeah, I did hear that they. I read that they weren't very happy about having to play in Florida.
Yeah,
it was
that was
last minute.
That was a big drama with the Rangers because they said, "Hey, let's switch the series," and the Rangers were like, "No, we still have a chance at the wild card," which they're fourth in the AL West, and I mean, yeah, they're only three out, but the AL wild card is loaded.
Yeah, there's like seven or eight teams.
So it's like it's a pipe dream, and still they were like, "No, we want to have this like home series at the end of September." And I was like, "Wow, just petty as fuck." Like, they wouldn't. I don't think they would have cared if they were 20 games under 500. But since they're like have a chance, they were like, "Yeah, now we have to. You guys, we got to play in like desolate Tampa Bay."
Yep.
So
$10 general admission. There was 3,400 people.
That's
about half as much that are at a Rays game.
I think that's a good sign that the Rays shouldn't really even have a baseball team. Tampa really shouldn't have a baseball team. I don't know.
As you've beaten this drum, they have a shitty stadium.
It's
so
awful.
It's probably not helping.
It's absolutely awful.
But it's also hotter than the hubs of hell there in the summer, so I don't know if they could. Certainly, I guess you could make it. I mean, it's hot in Houston, too.
So remind me again, was it Katrina the reason that the Astros and Cubs played up here?
I believe so.
So, and it was in Houston.
2005?
Yeah, right, when Zambrano throws the no-hitter.
Against Houston.
Against Houston. And that, I think they drew pretty well, because the Cubs factor into it, but still.
So it was a road game for the Cubs at Miller Park.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which is often more of a home game for them. Yeah,
exactly. So also other baseball topic that that doesn't pertain to anything local but still pretty damn funny is Dayton Moore of the Kansas City Royals, GM there.
It's just funny that a professional baseball GM can't even stick to sports with his own team.
No, he was taught. He's been, for whatever reason, he had this press conference.
Danny Duffy got a DUI.
Yeah.
So he had a press conference about. And I watched a little bit of, like, obviously the part about him talking about, you know, he said, you know, we talk to our guys about pornography. And he's like, I'll be honest with you, you know, we do that. And tell him about what it leads to. It leads to destructive behaviors. It leads to, like, domestic abuse is what he said. So, like, it's just kind of like, man, how awkward is that? It's kind of off the rails.
So, like, how do you think that conversation starts?
I don't know. I mean, like that's what I was telling you in the car on the way here.
If I'm dating more, it's like, hey Mike Moustakas, nice to see you.
Good game last night, Mike.
Good game, Mike. But, you know, we do want to talk to you about your porn usage. We've noticed on your work computer there's been a lot of Pornhub. I couldn't even imagine my boss having a conversation about me. Telling me, like,
we went through your phone history, and we saw a lot of Pornhub on there.
Yeah, what's the Brazzers doing here?
Yeah.
What's this cum fiesta doing? I don't know. Like, and imagine nothing's worse than having to defend yourself about what you watch in the porn world. That should be kept between you and your hand. That's really the only place.
True. And like, my main question, I brought this up to you on our pre-show meeting in the way here, you know, do they bring the guys in one by one, or is it a whole team, like beginning of the season?
Oh God, I hope it's like I hope it's a presentation, and I would love to get that power, get a hold of that PowerPoint.
What's more awkward? Probably the whole team.
Oh, no. One-to-one, for sure.
But it's a smaller scale, obviously. And maybe it's only certain guys. Who knows?
Right. I mean, well, yeah, it's like, okay, new guys, you're getting the porn talk.
You got to go get the porn talk.
You're getting a porn talk.
That's probably what it is, too.
It's perfect. Like, that's in like a...
Like when Moustakas and Hosmer and stuff were, you know, young, or when rookies, they got it then. And it's like, you know... George Brett's in the room, bro.
No. Well, it's funny too, because like George Brett, it was a guy who never got married when he was in the pros. He got married after, and he said it was for a good reason. He didn't want to be married.
He's like Jeets.
Yeah, George was slanging, man.
Yeah, dude.
So it's
going
like
to Vegas.
George would probably just be like, I didn't need porn. He was like, you guys need porn. Laughing at dudes. And that's also the other thing. These guys. Like, let's just be real. They're pro athletes. Like, not to say that they can just bag anybody, but they're, you know, it's not hard.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, Hosmer dated Casey McDonald for a while. And if you know who Casey McDonald is, you just.
She's an all-timer.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, come on now. It's like, do you really need to have this conversation?
This kind of sums it up,
and
really.
And look, if the last thing I'd say is if I was a free agent, and I now know that this guy like is an anti-porn dude, I'm totally not going to Kansas City.
Yeah, not that you have to worry.
You have to worry about it. You have to wonder if this was like, okay. So just real quick, and I know we got other topics, but if you were producing like a show here in Milwaukee, Afternoon Drive in Milwaukee, and Stearns made a comment like this, like, how do you approach this topic to your listeners?
You might hear some of it, you know, this week at some point it might get brought up.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a fun topic, but it's like, gosh, sometimes you just wonder, like, how would you deal with that situation? I mean, it's like,
I guess how we're doing it now, just kind of making fun of it
and laughing about it. Yeah. Like, yeah. Unless you're
like some, you know, God fearing Christian and take it seriously.
I'm sure there are a few of those.
Oh yeah.
Especially in Missouri.
You mentioned free agency. It's like, if there's one place that's less desirable than Milwaukee, it might be Kansas City.
Kansas City's way up there. That Oakland probably is too, just for the stadium and just how much of a piece of shit it is. Tampa Bay is probably up there as well.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. That's a weird thing. And I wouldn't also see Ned Yost supporting like an anti-porn thing. It seems like Ned would die.
I don't know what Ned's stance is on a lot of things. They won the World Series.
Right.
So, and he changed the way. He was the first one to do like, this is our sixth inning guy, seventh inning guy, eighth inning guy, ninth inning guy.
Yeah, Ned Yost, an innovator.
Right.
Who would have thought?
Which is, you know, really not that innovative.
Soup pitch great.
But, you know, he had the arms to do it.
Right.
That's what won them the World Series.
Absolutely. He was the first guy. Dayton Moore, credit
but
to.
But he's not exactly Joe Madden.
Credit
either.
To Dayton Moore, the anti-porn guy, was a big fan of the bullpen dudes.
Yep.
So. Yeah, what if you get acquired in the middle?
And now at least two of those guys are gone.
Yeah, what if you get acquired?
We're sitting here 2 years later.
What do you get acquired in the middle of the season? Do you get a packet on anti-porn? Yeah. I have so many questions.
It's in the contract.
Yeah, I have so many questions. So
that it's in the fine print. We will have the porn talk.
We will have the talk about porn. Matt, imagine if they had Hideki Matsui on their team. There'd be a lot of conversations. Hideki, big porn guy. I've only heard that
from you telling me that.
Oh, that's a famous story.
He's got like a room.
He had a room of porn. Just had a place where he could go JO. I'm not mad at it. I'm just, you know, he's feeling some stereotypes, but that's okay. That happens.
Oh man.
So, anyways,
big swinging dick at the Cracker Factory.
We have, speaking of another big swinging dick, Aaron Rodgers, he had a big interview with ESPN, kind of his first that I can remember, very like sit down, very much like here's who I am and opening up. And I think a lot of it is part of sort of the new Aaron Rodgers. And he didn't really talk a lot about the relationship.
He's single and ready to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Finally, Aaron Rodgers, right?
So
allegedly single.
So, I mean, we can kind of cherry pick.
Kind of single.
Cherry pick
again,
the topics.
Pro athlete.
And break them down. But, like, the first one, obviously, the big attention grab, which was really just a line, was he was asked about Colin Kaepernick, and he said he should be on a roster. And I don't think that's really a surprising comment. Like, I think some people are surprised, but I don't understand why. Like, of course he's going to defend, like, another quarterback and defend a guy who –
yeah,
I think he's friendly with. And
certainly,
like,
not absurd.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't like an outrageous comment. He just said, yeah, I'll support. Me and Martellus have conversations about this. And like, I'm still going to stand, but I have no problem if people aren't going to stand. And it's like, it was a very mature and I think well thought out answer.
Well, and that's exactly what the lead in the story was about how cautious he is just in general.
Right.
And not like, you know, soft, like he's still confident, but he's very like methodical with like everything he does.
Right, and the thing is like, and I don't think there's.
I think that's pretty obvious.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Because I'm sure he's had these.
No,
opinions.
It's a compliment. I mean,
yeah,
from my perspective.
And you know, I think that part of it is like, it's okay that he support. And the other thing too. Is if you still disagree with Colin Kaepernick and you still disagree with all that's going on, that's perfectly okay. But you should respect that Rodgers has a different opinion than you. If the quarterback that you cheer for on Sunday has a different opinion on you about one thing, that's not the fucking end of the world. And we have to stop this whole, like, everybody agrees with everybody. It's a big ass echo chamber. It's like everyone has to agree with me on this topic. We can't have any consternation. Nobody can disagree. And I think it's killing our society. It's another topic for another time, but that has to stop.
Is this really I guess Martellus Bennett was asked about it, but I was gonna say, is this the first like time where it's kind of this whole Colin Kaepernick thing is kind of flown into Packer land.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is the first time because we haven't had anyone really kneel for the anthem. And I think with McCarthy, who has the PowerPoint about why the flag is important and national anthem is important. I don't know if you heard about that like 3 weeks ago. He explained how they have like a presentation about, you know, the anthem and how serious they take it and everything like that. And so it seems like the message is received that while we're not going to tell you can't kneel.
I wasn't going to expect the Packers to have 13 guys kneel or whatever the Browns had. I never would expect that.
No. And so then he made comments that people were misogynists for criticizing him with that Olivia Munn was affecting the way he played football. And I don't think it's I think some people were kind of misogynistic about it, but it's still fair to make a comment about the fact is when you're single, and this is what I've been saying all summer, the fact is when you're single, you tend to focus on your work because if you are heartbroken, if you are dealing with some shit, you're just going to start focusing on your work and you're going to be better at your job because you're on a one-track mind and you're not thinking about, holy shit, did I buy the right kind of peppers for Olivia tonight for dinner?
Well, yeah,
you're just not thinking about that stuff.
I think he couldn't really stand being in the public eye with it.
No.
So.
And I think now he's like, okay, I hated being in that public eye, and now I want to be in my own public
eye.
There
was a really interesting tidbit, too, that he apparently was engaged to someone he knew, like his high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
That apparently nobody knew about, really.
Yeah, and that was, that might have been even before the Super Bowl run. But going back to your comment about the public eye, I think now he's doing it the way he wanted to. He was like, I hated that version, so now let me do it my way. Let me talk to Rich Eisen about Game of Thrones. Let me talk to The Ringer about Game of Thrones. My favorite show. I'm going to talk to people about it. He talked to The Ringer again the other day with Robert Mays because he asked, you know, a bunch of different quarterbacks about what it's like to wait for your chance. Wait, you know, the franchise quarterback. I think he interviewed Phil Rivers and someone else. So I know Phil Rivers is like your antichrist.
Pretty much.
And he's on Instagram. He's doing the ticket hunt. He is just more open now than he ever has been, but it's at the way he wants to do it, where I guarantee you Olivia Munn pressured some of that and said, you should be more open. You should be more connected with your fans. And he didn't want to hear it. It's like when you go to the gym and you're playing on a football team and you're like, God, I hate the gym because I'm required to do these lifts. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the gym by yourself and you're like, I kind of like this. Like, this is fine. Like, why did I hate this? Why did I not? So
kind of do it on your own.
Right. Exactly.
Basically live life the way you want to live life.
Yeah. And that's a great way to sum it up because I think he's doing a lot of that. And I think that is interesting. The other interesting part, kind of the third part of that is he doesn't seem like he really needs another Super Bowl. It seems like he's kind of at peace with how his career will go out. And I don't think like it's going to take down his drive to win another Super Bowl. I think there are countless Packer players who've said, specifically this summer, we want to win a ring for Aaron. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Daniels said that. Ha-ha Clinton Dix said that. I think Devontae Adams also said that. Like, there are guys who are determined to win rings. And so we'll see.
Most importantly, the mustache is back.
That mustache was good. I think he actually shaved it off because they did the luncheon and we're dressed all in black with black ties, Men in Black style, with him and Brett Hundley. So
damn.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah, then I didn't think the stash would stay too long. We'll see. So the Packers also made a signing that is great, but they signed Ahmad Brooks to a 1-year deal worth $5 million. Ahmad Brooks is an edge rusher, adds another element to that pass rush that they desperately needed. Basically means Kyler Fackrell bye. And not that he's going to get cut, but just not going to be as much of a importance there.
Are you going to cut Clay Matthews now?
No. Brooks has had 6 sacks.
You know, there's probably a good 20% of Packer fans that would like that.
Yeah, I think at some point we'll figure out a time and place, but we probably need to talk about the fact that the slandering of Clay Matthews is kind of ridiculous. I think Clay has obviously lost a step, but I think just the overall reaction to it is bad.
You got to get 20 sacks a year to be.
Well, I think some of it's, if we're going to do real quick on this, I think part of it's Clay's fault because Clay knows he should be an inside linebacker and he's so fucking stubborn and he makes too much money. The Packers can't just say, we're bumping you inside. You have to play inside because he should. He really should be an inside linebacker.
Yeah, he's better suited there now. Clearly, right. He's made more of an impact there.
And he just won't listen. So, anyways, Brooks coming in brings this team a really tough competitor, grown-ass man. He's not going to really be bullied around. He does have some baggage with a open case around sexual battery, and then he was accused of hitting a woman in 2008. So he's not a Boy Scout by any means. He grades out pretty similar to Julius Peppers. Zach Krause had that last week, I think. And so if you're basically bringing back Julius Peppers, that's pretty good. That's pretty much what you need. And you might get, with Brooks, you might get like 1 or 2 games where he really stands out. He might get 3 or 4 that are kind of eh. And then 2 or 3 where he's a ghost. I mean, that was kind of Peppers' season last year.
And you're getting him for cheaper than Peppers, too.
Right, exactly. And I think
that's a
huge part.
Probably get similar production level.
Yeah. So to wrap up the Packers, they do play tonight against the Rams. I don't think anyone really gives a shit. but, you know, you always got to wonder about surprise cuts. Who's going to get Josh Sitton?
Is anyone playing tonight?
I don't think so. But I don't know if I guess the only one that would be like a quote, and this is in quotation marks, surprise would be Ladarius Gunter. But would Gunter really even be a surprise? I mean, we all knew he was kind of playing above his head last year. And he's been really struggling at camp. I don't think they'd cut Spriggs. This would be dumb at this point with the lack of depth at that offensive line. I think Fackrell, we'll see what they do with their wide receivers. I think that's the most fascinating thing to watch is, and we've talked about it before, but they have so many that how are they going to make them all fit? Is Kerrigage, the other fullback, going to get cut? What are they going to do about the quarterbacks? I mean, they have a lot of different things. Also, another underrated thing about Packer Cut Day is the journalist bitching about how long it takes Ted Thompson to make a decision. that's my favorite thing. That's a good tweet around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Is like, oh, Thompson's late. Wish 1 year he'd be early. it's usually the bald man from ESPN who just continues to just make snide comments whenever he needs to.
Whenever he feels fit.
Took a pot shot at Bob McGinn.
that's like a commonplace in Packers beat reporter world.
Yeah.
Just smug and.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I think it's like part of your credential.
I think you just develop it because of all the fucking bullshit you have to see.
I think they get sick of dealing with Ted Thompson, to be honest.
Well, that too.
And I think McCarthy gives them a lot of kind of BS answers too. So I think
And McCarthy gets worse every day too.
Right. Exactly. I mean, McCarthy's funny though. I mean, we're not doing McCarthy has some funny lines.
We're not doing the injury dance.
We're not doing the injury dance was good. He made another comment to Tom.
We're not doing it.
I forget what he made a comment to Tom Silverstein. Oh God, what was it? It was funny.
We're not doing the injury dance. He has a leg injury or something like that. Yeah, I think is what
we're not doing the injury dance.
But that's not fair though. Like you can't just not say that. I don't know. Maybe you can. That's what they do in the NHL.
Yeah.
That was an upper body injury.
Yeah.
It's like a broken wrist.
Yeah, I don't know if I can find it. But he basically made something about he's made a comment to Tom Silverstein about something. I can't remember now, which is fine. But anyways. Good stuff. We'll see. We'll obviously talk a lot about the NFL next week, probably more of a quasi-preview show, so look forward to that. Also kicking off this weekend is Wisconsin football and college football itself. That'll get going tonight. You get Ohio State, Indiana. It's like Big Ten kind of showing themselves off on the...
Big Ten's doing Thursday, Friday this week.
Oh, yeah. Thursday, Friday. You'll get a lot of hot takes Friday afternoon with a lot of... Should the Badgers be playing on Friday of high school? That's going to be a popular take Friday with nothing to do. You also get Tulsa versus Oklahoma State. That's not a game worth.
That's going to be 85-80.
Yeah, probably take the over in that one. So, the Badgers get going at 8 p.m. on Friday against Utah State.
Let's see if another linebacker gets hurt between now and then.
No kidding. And, you know, you have to wonder. I wrote a thing on Snowtap WI. It's a website. Beat you to it. I thought you were going to do that.
Yep.
But anyways, you know, I was wondering, you know, hey, they still got a lot of decent linebackers left.
Oh,
I
mean,
you know.
Still have Chris Orr, right?
Still have Chris Orr. You have Leon Jacobs, who's at school for his, like, eighth year. TJ Edwards, Ryan Connellan, Garrett Dooley. I mean, they got a decent squad there.
Look at you just rattling
off. Linebacker. I mean, they brought back so much, and you can see why they're rated, you know, number seven. You know, Dakota Dixon's back. They got a lot of their defensive line back. Their whole offensive line's there. They have
their quarterback.
Yeah. And they now have three running backs that they say are all the starter.
Who are their running backs?
Chris James, Jonathan Taylor, the freshman, and Bradrick Shaw.
What about Deal?
I don't know what Taewon Deal. He might have transferred because he wasn't on the depth chart or he's hurt. But, I mean, I loved Bradrick Shaw last year. I thought Bradrick Shaw was a hell of a running back. There's a lot of buzz around Jonathan Taylor. And, you know, they bring back Jazz Peavy, Troy Fumagalli. Like, they're loaded. Like, they are absolutely loaded, and they're definitely worth the number seventh team in the nation. The question is, are they going to live up to it? Because the last two times the Badgers have been preseason top 10, they finished in the 20s. So
looks like Taewon Deal's good to go. Oh, I think there's an article from August 6th.
So the Badgers have underperformed in this spot before, but it does beg the question, you know, can they go undefeated? Can they make a run at the college football playoff? What says you? I know you're not a big college football guy, but you go, I'll give you some, they're tough games. They go, have to play at BYU in a couple of weeks here. I think that's a very slippery game. They have to go to Nebraska. That's tough. Never easy to play Northwestern, no matter where you are. And the big one, the showdown game, the college game day, could both teams be undefeated?
Michigan?
Is Michigan on the 18th.
That's
November
be a tough 18th. One.
It'd be at Camp Randall. I feel like that's a kind of a must watch kind of game. But that's the big one. You don't play Ohio State, and you basically have that. But you legit.
They're probably going to lose one, you would imagine.
Well, they always do. I mean, the Badgers have been known to do heartbreaking losses.
It's better to lose early than late.
And so you wonder what would work out. If you lose to a BYU and BYU goes off to be a BCS team, you know, as an at-large, you're fine, probably.
Unless you're Ohio State, then you can overcome late losses.
Well, right, exactly. Rules don't apply for Ohio State, Alabama, USC, and Florida State. Yeah, you know this. So we'll see. I mean, it's very interesting. They have the talent to do it. The question is, you know, will they be able to keep it all together? Will Alex Hornibrook actually be able to complete games? I mean, let's remember, like, he had a lot of those where he wasn't playing the full four quarters. You know, Barhuson come in, and I didn't always think Chris did a great job of managing that. And I kind of worry he's going to do the same with the running backs. Is if you have three of these running backs, like, how are you going to ride the hot hand? Are you just going to say, okay, Chris James is going off, like, I'm not going to touch him, and just put in these other two guys sparringly?
He does. I mean, he struggled with that with the quarterback last year.
Yeah, so is it going to be this? The nice thing about a running back, though, is, like, you can do two running back sets and kick out the fullback and say, sure, okay, I'm going to have James and I'm going to do a pseudo spread. I mean, I know they don't do a lot of spread with the Badgers, at least they used to with Canada and drove people nuts. They could do like a two running back shotgun set with three wide receivers, and you're just running motion with, and you'll never know which guy's carrying the option and stuff like that. Hornibrook's not Johnny Manziel, but he can run a little bit.
He's young enough, but I think he's pretty much a statue.
Yeah.
But he's lefty too.
Yeah. So I like Alex Hornibrook. I like this team. On paper, I think they are a really good team, and I think there's no reason Badger fans can't get excited about a college football playoff appearance. The fact is there are a lot of good teams that stand in their way. Alabama, obviously.
Well,
right?
The Big Ten is good again.
Big Ten's good again. Yes. Yeah. Start there. I mean, that's great. Ohio State loaded. JT Barrett there for his
first
ninth
team all
year.
Van Wilder.
Yeah. JT Barrett. Jesus Christ. Graduate. But
he got hurt last year, right?
He did. Yeah. So JT Barrett's there. And then Ohio State is a host of others, you know, their redemption after getting spanked by Clemson. Michigan has a shit ton of people back. Penn State's going to be good. You have Florida State, Alabama this weekend, which some people are like, well, it's a playoff preview. I don't really like care what the outcome is. If Alabama loses, fine. It's always fun when Alabama loses. That's become they've become the UCLA of what UCLA was in the 70s when UCLA would lose. It's kind of how Alabama is. If Alabama loses, it's
the entire nation celebrates.
Absolutely. Why not? And then you get the California quarterback thing with Sam Darnold, who's going to be awesome. I'm a big Sam Darnold guy. I love USC quarterbacks. I've never been shy about my USC quarterback love.
Going back to Matt Leinart?
Yeah, I had a little Carson Palmer love, but I was a little early. But, yes, Matt Leinart was the
Barkley.
I did like Matt Barkley. I kind of liked the Sanchez for a little bit.
They haven't really had anybody since Matt Barkley.
Yeah, right. And Darnold's better than Barkley, bar none. Like, he's going to be—
Matt Castle.
Darnold's easily the number one pick in the draft next year. And, you know— Josh Rosen's not going to have a good team with UCLA, but Josh Rosen, I think, is the next coming of Jay Cutler. Very much like, I don't give a shit. He's also bright as fuck, so he's not just like a dumbass. He's a legit.
He's not like smoking Jay.
No, he's not like smoking Jay. So there'll be teams that emerge. Also, a lot of hype for Washington. A lot of love for Chris Peterson this year.
They got their quarterback back, right?
Yep. So they have a lot of love.
They did lose a beast in John Ross.
Right. And Buda Baker's gone off that defense.
Kevin King, of course.
Kevin King, yeah.
Ugly dude.
So thank you for that. And then Oklahoma State's another team to keep your eye on.
He's up there with Marshawn Lynch.
You get Mason Rudolph and James Washington. That combination would be just the DK stack of usual. But we can't play DK for college football, so you just pour one out.
Worst day of your life.
I mean, really, I loved playing DK college football.
It was kind of fun. I did it once or
twice. There's a lot of money to be made and a lot of money to be lost. And the worst was when you'd go and you'd just go 0 for a weekend. You'd lose in golf, you'd lose in baseball, you'd lose in college football, and you'd lose in the NFL. And
September is sneaky 6 to midnight for you. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, September is nice. I get
last month of regular season baseball.
I get golf, regular season baseball, and the NFL. So,
NFL
yeah.
Kicks up.
So, yeah, my pockets will be lined with...
Dude, the NFL is... Man, I mean, I got a lot going on with, you know, Pick'em League and Daily Fantasy, which I like doing in the NFL season.
Yeah.
And then fantasy leagues kicking up here.
Right,
this
yeah. Yeah, a lot drafts. Of fantasy drafts and stuff like that. So
we might have Murph on next week, too.
Again?
I don't know. Is that what you said?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, then fuck him.
All right, cool.
What else do you got here?
Do you want to go Brewers or do you want to go Bucks?
Let's
I don't
just,
know what time
we got. Let's
just
go Brewers quick. We're fine.
Okay.
I'm not in a hurry.
32,
we're good.
Oh, absolutely. So Brewers, you know, when we taped last week, it was Monday. We sounded good. I feel like we should, like, when we do Brewers, we should recap how we were feeling, like, just get a clip. And we were feeling good about San Francisco.
Well,
and we're
every
like,
other week, it's like.
Yeah, and it literally is, because you could play it back, and you're like, God, these guys were hopeful, and then they lose. They were, you know.
Even waking up today, you're like, God damn it, we lost 10-2 to the Cardinals.
Right, exactly. It's like
Tuesday night.
It's like, great. Now
we lose today.
And now Carlos Martinez is pitching. Like, granted, Chase the Ace was on the mound, but still. And the Brewers have figured out Carlos Martinez, which is a beautiful thing. He got shelled again. He's not pitched well against the Brewers this year.
Would have been nice to take both against the Cardinals and just put them out of their misery.
Right, exactly. And they could have got the kill punch and the kill shot, and they just didn't.
I mean, I would never count out the Cardinals.
No.
At the same time, they'd go like 4 or 5 back behind the Brewers.
Yeah, they're not that great. And so
they really aren't.
And the Brewers still have a good. I mean, the fact they took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers is the utmost impressive and deserves a lot of credit and a lot of pub.
That's
and that
almost,
was
almost impossible.
I mean, such an exciting series. You know, Zach Davies, you know, brought out the big nuts on Saturday and pitched just an absolute gem.
I almost went out and did a cartwheel on Sunday though.
And, oh yeah, the Jimmy. I mean, that was a great game. You wanted to pull your hair out through half of it, but
when he got that.
It was fantastic.
Got that. He likes taking him to full on the
right.
on the last hitter.
My dad's been very very demonstrative about that. There's too many runners that are. Knebel leaves too many runners on to start.
Oh, well,
and
just
drives him crazy with
gives out
all the bullpen
like candy.
Yeah. I was just about to say, like, oh, yeah, and the Pirates are beating the Cubs. Ha ha, they're getting beat. The Cubs are 5-2.
Cubs. Yep. Cubs haven't played a good team since the Obama administration.
God,
so.
Isn't that the fucking truth? So, yeah, we'll see what's going on with the Cubs. I mean, the other thing to keep an eye on is the fact that.
You know, the Cubs get a lot of shit talk, but they're still like 11 games above 500 now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not like.
No, they're just...
They're going to end up winning like 90 games.
Right. They're hanging around. And then the Brewers...
Although I did get into a small Twitter tiff this morning when I woke up seeing some mentions on some tweet. I'm not going to get into it because you'll get fired up. But
okay.
It was some old guy saying like, oh, if the Cubs go 16-15 the rest of the way, the Brewers would have to go 21-12 or whatever to pass them. And it's like, it ain't happening or something like that. And I was like, well, the Cubs just did just go 2-4 against the Reds and Phillies. They actually went 3-3. Somebody corrected me on that.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that's the two worst teams in the National League.
The other reason why that's a dumb comment is because the fact is the Brewers and Cubs play seven times before the season's over. So if the Brewers go 5-2 in that stretch, they make up essentially three games right there. And then you're tied for the division. Mm-hmm. So
I gotta look that up. But
you know, it's seven. It's three at Wrigley and then four at Miller Park the next weekend. I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's gonna basically probably decide the season. But you look at the Rockies and the Rockies keep losing games. Like they lost again tonight. Verlander, you know, did the damn thing, and now the Brewers are three games back out of the Rockies. So literally they're three games out of the wild card and three games out of Chicago. And at some point you have to wonder if the Rockies are more vulnerable than the Cubs are. You just got to kind of look at schedules and see what's up, you know?
Yeah, the Brewers are still three back as we tape from the Rockies in the wild card and three back in the division.
Right, so. And they'd go back to three and a half if the Cubs win tonight. So, you know, and looking out, they get Washington.
Dodgers have lost three straight. Wow, they're falling apart.
They play Washington this weekend. They do see Max Scherzer, see Gio Gonzalez. Both guys have been pitching real well. Gio Gonzalez, I think, is a little gettable just from a left-handed. Brewers hit left-handers pretty well.
Plus, what's so special about Gio Gonzalez?
Right. Then you got the gas can bowl between Edwin Jackson and Matt Garza on Sunday. So we'll just sort of see. But it'd be nice if the Brewers could get the first two with Zach.
What
and Jimmy
starter
going.
Can hold the opposing team under five runs in the first 5 innings?
Right.
Is going to be.
and yeah, we'll see it. We'll just see how the Brewers do against Scherzer last time around. That was the 16-1 game where they got beat pretty bad. I don't think Brandon Woodruff's going to give up 16 runs. And that Nationals team right now, their offense is not the same without Bryce Harper.
They have
Harper.
Like five guys in the DL.
But
right
they do get Trey Turner back, and Jason Worth, who's a perpetual Brewer killer, is also back. So, you know.
I forgot he was in the league.
Yeah. So
you could almost add him to the list of 2017 guys I can't believe are in baseball.
Nah, he's had a pretty good year.
Well, he's a good base. He would be like an honorable mention, maybe, the fact that he's been playing for so long.
I've said it about Jason Worth for years. He's a rich man's Corey Hart. He's literally looks
that
similar.
Dude was like 5 years in 2008.
Right, but I'm saying he's better than he's probably like peak Corey Hart. When Jason Worth was really good, it would be like, yeah, I wish Corey Hart was as good as Jason.
Unfortunately, Corey
Hart
just fell off.
Right, exactly.
After about a year or two of peak Corey Hart.
Exactly. So, yeah, we'll just see what happens. I mean, yeah, Trey Turner comes back.
Real Dave Bush career.
Trey Turner being back is unfortunate because that's the type of guy who just absolutely kills the Brewers.
Speed,
just getting hits all the time. Brewers have some trouble with those guys who hit the contact.
A lot of teams
like
have
that.
Trouble with guys who get a lot of hits.
that's very John Madden of me, wasn't it?
Yeah. So. I mean, you can't call a guy a Brewer killer when they are good, you know.
No, I didn't call Trey Turner a Brewer killer. I just said he's the kind of guy who gives Brewers problems.
Right.
These short little
shits. I know, I'm saying in general, like just in general terms.
Yeah,
it's hard to call someone a Brewer killer when they're, you know, Bryce Harper.
Right, no. No, it's unless they have like just crazy stats about like.
Or even somebody who's like an above average player. It's kind of hard to be like. Well, like, I know it's annoying, but.
Well, like Anthony Rizzo is a guy who always has just huge stats against the Brewers. I guess he's not a Brewers killer, but he fits the mold. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Should be an interesting series. I think if the Brewers can get, you know, two games out of it, that'd be great. You know, and split the homestand 3-3. That's probably ideal. Mm-hmm. And then you go to Cincinnati then the following week. So to wrap it up, we got the fact that this Kyrie Brogdon.
I don't even know what.
So basically,
the current status does Kyrie even have a team? Right
not
now?
Really.
Like I went on his Wikipedia today, and they had him as Boston Celtics.
Yeah, and like I guess the Cavs like website has like Isaiah and Jay Crowder, and Jay Crowder was like training in Atlanta, and he was in full Cavs gear training, like new Cavs gear.
So like it's a done trade.
It's not really. It hasn't been signed. It's not official. So it's just holding there. And then Zach Lowe is kind of writing like, yeah, this thing, there was possibility to this Milwaukee deal. And I don't, I just don't know. I haven't. We talked about it about a month ago, and we said there were strict positives and there were strict negatives. Now that we know the deal on the table, I actually think like Chris Middleton would be great with LeBron. I think LeBron would love Chris Middleton. I think
the problem with the Cavs is they're trying to compete for a championship and rebuild.
Right, and I don't think
like they want everything.
Right, and I don't think the Bucks giving them the 2018 first round pick is really going to help them that much if the Bucks are a playoff team.
I mean, that's not a good trade for them.
No.
For a rebuild, for future purposes.
Exactly. And
because that obviously that Boston package is way better.
And you can argue all day if they're going to trade that pick or not. I know that's a hot topic for some on Twitter who just think that it's like a done deal that's going to happen. But, you know, it's
great friend of the podcast.
he doesn't listen anyway. So just, fuck him.
You just you just throw the ball. What did Murph say? You just throw the ball and he goes and gets it.
Exactly. I could float something out right now and be like, well, what about this? And he would run and get it. So, let's see. Maybe we'll make that monkey dance. So anyways,
every time somebody tweets about them trading that pick, I got to get mentioned.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's like it's like on a notepad, like make sure you tag Charlie and Mitch every time that this thing gets mentioned.
He's got it on his desk calendar.
Even if it's from like a fucking NFL guy, like who knows nothing about the NBA.
He has no sources.
So that said, you know, I don't know. Cleveland, I think Cleveland is crazy for wanting more and trying to ask for Jason Tatum and or Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
And I hope Boston doesn't do that.
I wonder if a third team gets involved.
I think the trade as it was is good. Perfect.
Me too. Both teams. Yeah, I do too. I thought neither team like won the deal. I thought it was a good deal for both. So,
And if anything, I think both teams might have got slightly worse.
We'll see what happens. It's getting close to where the NBA, they kind of got to pull this trigger because training camp starting pretty soon. So yeah, we'll see.
I think I'd do that trade. I think I would trade Brogdon, Middleton, and a first for Kyrie. I think
okay.
I'd do it.
All right.
I've always said that. And I think I still would do it.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know where I land. I think I probably would too and deal with the fact Kyrie bails in 2 years that I think you can get
hopefully he's a buck by this time next week. And
we'll talk about a lot of stuff, a lot of NFL next week. We'll probably give our Super Bowl prediction. Will I pick Packers?
Just hijack the podcast with a Kyrie trade.
That would really cuck. That would be a real podcast cuck by Kyrie. So, anyways, have a good 3-day weekend, Tappers. We will talk to you next week. We'll talk a lot of NFL, a little bit of Brewers, and who knows, maybe Kyrie's buck. All right, see ya.